webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you very much, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, February 8th, 2012, the only February 8th, 2012 in the history of humanity. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, on this Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. Yes, indeed, power to the people of the gospel, the people of righteousness, the people of perfection, all brought to you by the sacrifice of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, this Messiah that was crucified on that cross 2,000 years ago in a city called Jerusalem. We have good news for you tonight. When that happened, that historical fact happened, you were in the body of the Mashiach, the Messiah. We cannot encourage you enough, and we cannot encourage you enough to participate in this here webcast by calling us. Sean O'Halloran, waiting in the Bay of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Bay of the Holy Spirit. Studios at 1-800-436-3260. Call us toll-free in Canada and the U.S. of A at 1-800-436-3260. And worldwide, if you're listening, and we did have a request today at what time in South Africa, in Johannesburg, to be specific, that the webcast would be coming on live. It is 3:47 a.m. on Thursday morning in Johannesburg, and we're waiting to hear from our dear sister Deborah out there in Johannesburg. So wherever you're listening worldwide, if it is 13 minutes until 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A., please give us a call at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. And speaking of power to the people, the man that releases the people to that power, the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, the Grand Poobah, the False Christ, the Teacup Poodle, the Bela Lugosi, the Lunesta, the Kentucky Colonel, the Most High and Holy Reverend, the author of the soon-to-be-released book, One, and the speaker at the recently completed conference in Calgary entitled What's Proverbs Got to Do with It? This One's for Laurel. Please welcome online the man, the legend, we know him, we love him, we can't live without him, from the home offices of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
Good evening, Glenn.
Good evening, Mikey!
It is a good evening. What a day, what a day. It's noteworthy, for sure. I remember one of the little ladies that used to come to the church that I pastored, and she became a very dear friend, and but anyway, her byword was, "It's a red letter day. It's a red letter day." And just occasionally, when I'm enjoying my day, I can certainly hear Margaret Breeden and those huge blue eyes that woman had, crystal blue, and she was in her 70s at the time, and looking up and saying, "It's a red letter day. It's a red letter day, Jesus. It's a red letter day."
All right, for the less informed of us, Michael, what she might have been referencing, this precious blue-eyed elderly saint of God. Why was she calling it a red letter day? What did that mean?
I don't have a clue.
Are you kidding me?
I know it does mean something.
I totally know what it means. I was like teeing it up for you.
You're a good Jewish boy. You should know. So tell me.
Has got nothing to do with being Jewish. In fact, I am absolutely appalled that you, as a good Baptist, as a good evangelical, as a good word of faith, and put X before all that, folks, by the way, don't know what this means. When Yeshua, if you will, spoke, when Jesus spoke in the New Testament, in many versions of the Bible, they outlined those words
saying. In
red. Yeah, it's a red letter day. Wait a minute. You're telling me that for all these years you didn't know what that meant.
I never knew what it meant. And, of course, I was even standing up saying, you know, this is a red letter edition, and, you know, it's in red letter, but I never connected the two. I guess those big blue eyes just captivated me.
All right. This is very good news for you folks, ladies and gentlemen, right now. We're talking about, see here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that little story and make it a gospel-related issue. Because there are people within the circles of religion and Christianity, which we deal with pretty much, not solely, but certainly in a highlighted way, there are people that are parroting things that they have heard, and they have no idea what they mean within religious circles, and yet they just say them because it's always been said, and it sounds good.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, this one, I knew it was said, but I didn't have a clue. But now I do. See, I've already learned something, and we've just said hello.
This is hilarious, folks. You guys have to understand, as Michael has said many times on this webcast, you guys have to understand, the radio show is just a continuation of an ongoing conversation that has been happening now with the two of us, well, for the better part of 13, 14 years, but on a almost daily basis over the last almost 7 years since the webcast went online.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just kind of sneaking in, and we're requesting that you participate in the conversation. And while we will readily admit that we clean it up for the radio, which we do, of course, this is how it is. Michael will say something. I'll question it. He'll verify it. I'll get saved. I'll say something, he'll get saved, then I'll find out something that he says that he doesn't know what it means, or it's fun. And you guys know that I'm always jacked up about the gospel, but I'm particularly jacked up tonight.
Why are you jacked up tonight?
Michael, because I made the mistake of logging on to the just uploaded download of the meetings in Calgary before I came into the studio.
Oh, yeah.
What's Proverbs got to do with it? This one's for Laurel. Now, I'm not sure, frankly, and Jeff will inform me quickly, I'm sure, if it's up on the website, but I do know that you can link onto it at the Friends of Mike Williams and Gospel Revolution Friends or Facebook page. I absolutely know that. So you guys that are on Facebook, or if you want to get on Facebook, you just go to Friends of Mike Williams in the Gospel Revolution, and that I do know. That's how I got to it. And it is, bro, it was to the saving of my soul.
Wonderful. It was quite a meeting for sure. We went through a little time of unknowing as to whether or not these recordings would ever be heard or not, as it was.
Well, let's rehearse that for a second for the folks. Did you guys?
Yeah.
This is just a little family reunion. And so yesterday, I get a call from Michael, and I'm on another call that was relatively urgent. And I asked my caller to hold on, that I needed to just see what was up. When I see Mike's numbers come through, I'd like to try to answer if I can. And this was relatively late in the afternoon, early evening. And he said, UPS lost the recording of the Grace Conference. And I said, really? I said, let me call you back, which I did. And this was last night, folks. So we're here on Wednesday, February 8th. This was on Tuesday night. Please take the story from there, sir.
Well, Jeff had called me for the tracking number from me sending the recorder down for his use to begin to make good use of the conference through getting it recorded and also getting it ready for downloads immediately, as you see that he has. And because it had not arrived yet, and I sent it next day or whatever it was, or 2 days, 1 or 2 days at the most. And this has been well over a week now, and the recorder was still not there. So the day before, I had given the tracking number and information to Jeff, and then I had gotten a call that yesterday in the afternoon from Jeff telling me that UPS was saying that the package was never picked up from the store.
Yeah, that's not good.
It was never scanned into their system. They
right.
said a label was made for it, but that it never went into their system, and they do not have it, and that was it. And they said this was all the fault of the mailbox plus outlet here that I use regularly for special mailings and stuff. So I get ready, and I give them a call first because it was already 5:30. I didn't know if they might not even be open, so I was on a call. But I did get him, and he pulled it up, and I told him, you know, that UPS was saying that the fault was completely at his door, and we had just a little bit of exchange, nothing too unpleasant, but, you know, fairly direct. And he said he would call me back because they actually closed at 6:30. Well, he did not call me back, which that bothered me on such urgent issue. Even if you don't know something, when you say something, say you're going to call back, you ought to call back. That's one of my
So you call me, let me know about it, we talk about it. Then later on in the evening, I called you. Because, listen, folks, when you lose an entire series, an entire teaching, an historical teaching, this is not a small matter to us. We really care about the information being able to get out there. That's all. I mean, and this was the first time Michael has taught on the Book of Proverbs this way, and it's certainly the only time that the people that were in the meeting, that and Richard Mull, who was there as your wingman, ever was able to articulate their feelings and what they were experiencing. So as far as we're concerned, this is gone. So I called you last night, and I, you know, just frankly asked you how you were doing emotionally about this, and you said
I've been watching Ken Burns documentary. It's several hour seven part documentary on World War II. So I had just been watching people being starved to death and in the Philippines,
right,
in war camps,
the Bataan Death March and stuff like that.
Yeah, and all of that, and bodies being blown apart all over Europe, and heartbreak on heartache on just a massacre of just the volumes of which, until you see this, actually watch his documentary, you really don't get a full spectrum of somebody who didn't live through the war. You really must listen to watch this to get the full picture as much as you can without having lived through it. So anyway, I'm sitting here, you know, slack-jawed from just the impact of world pain and sorrow and suffering and all of this. And so Glenn asked me how I was doing emotionally. I said, well, I guess I'm doing good. I said, but I kind of have the benefit of watching the death camps and all of that. So I kind of have a little different perspective about losing a recorder with teachings on it. So, it was, by comparison, by the fact that I'd been watching that, it had very little impact. But, of course, my concern for it was definitely there. It was kind of a sinking feeling inside still yet.
Well, and you'll be happy to know, folks, that Jeffro Robertson – in beautiful Lake Panasoffkee, Florida, got a call this afternoon from the Lake Panasoffkee post office that said, I have a package here from you, from UPS. The UPS did not scan it. So, and so the driver realized, folks, that he did not really have the responsibility of delivering it. And of course, he wanted to get home and get home to, you know, the replays of Seinfeld or whatever he watches and his, you know, six pack of beer. And who could blame the guy?
So he just dropped
it off where it was convenient versus going to the backwoods of Lake Panasoffkee where Jeff lives, which literally, believe me, is in the middle of nowhere. And because Jeff is such a regular at the post office, they recognize the name.
It's like the post office is his Cheers bar, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. He comes in and they say, Norm! No, they say, Jeff! And so they track Jeff's address to him. They call him and say, we got this. Anyway, the long story short is that not only is the download available now on the Facebook page, but is now available on the homepage at gospelrevolution.com. All is well with the world. We're happy to report. And I'm also happy to report that the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution was much more emotionally stable than your friendly neighborhood talk show host was about the whole situation.
Well, you did not have the benefit of World War II as your backdrop. So
I have the benefit of knowing human history and what's going on. You know, there's so much is going on. We had the post yesterday on. And you can see the post if you guys aren't on the newsletter list. By the way, if you're not getting the e-newsletter, wherever you're listening around the world, just go to gospelrevolution.com and enter your name, and you'll get the newsletter, which comes out once or twice a week. And we talked about, in yesterday's newsletter, about the reality of the fulfillment of scriptures and how somebody in 2012 could actually believe that a snake talked to Eve in the Garden of Eden, that Moses parted the Red Sea, that Daniel stared down lions in the lion's den, and realize on this side of the cross that stuff just doesn't happen anymore. Just like judgment doesn't happen anymore, and judgment will never happen anymore since the cross. So we had a guy, Michael, on the Friends page say, right, because the point was made in the article that at the cross a new heavens and a new earth was created through Christ's sacrifice. And he's like, yeah, a great new earth with genocide and mass murder and, you know, just man's inhumanity to man. We had an example of the United States yesterday where a father who was accused of, or he wasn't accused, but he was a person of interest, as the FBI here in the U.S. likes to call him, was a person of interest in the disappearance of his wife, the mother of his two children. And they pulled custody away from the father because apparently they were very interested in him as a potential,
suspect.
A potential suspect in the crime. So they drop the kids off so they could visit him. He locks the door in Seattle and he blows up the house with two kids in it that were just coming around after having lost their mother. And apparently witnessing their mother being thrown in the trunk of a car. And so whether it be genocide or stuff like that, Mike, crazy stuff happens. He said this is not a new earth because of genocide and because of stuff like that happened in Seattle. And he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand.
Well, it's a new heaven and a new earth because God isn't doing that. That is what makes it new. We are looking very much forward to man going through wonderful change, maybe even similar to that which God himself has gone through, to where that the salvation of the cross affects us in such a profound way that anger and jealousy and wrath is actually taken from us also, you know. If God could be delivered from it, and I know that just kind of rakes up some people's backs, but I have no apologies for the power of the cross. I literally believe that Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. And he's Lord of heaven and earth because he changed both. He delivered both heaven and earth from the confines of the world that existed up until that time. And the fall of the human race, and also God's descent into a wrathful, angry, jealous state. Now, whether anybody wants to really think about it or not, the fact of it is, after the cross, we are absolutely guaranteed, which Christianity does not embrace, because they think the Bible says that says, "I am the Lord God; I change not." And if all you have to do is look up that little term "change," and it is completely mistranslated, along with a lot of other things in the Bible. But it's a very easy thing to do, a little search. And the term "change" there means duplicate. He says, "I don't duplicate. I don't do it the same twice. I don't have to do anything the same twice." And so they hang their hat on an insignificant verse and miss the power of the gospel, which says that Isaiah prophesied that after the cross that there would be no more anger, no more wrath, no more judgment from God. He wouldn't even be angry anymore. And that the declaration of peace, the peace treaty that would be brought in at the cross, that the earth would never see God's anger again. So God, something happened where that God himself, now I've been angry, I've been wrathful, and I've been jealous. And they aren't good feelings. They're awful. So I can't think in any other terms other than that God himself is enjoying his own form of salvation from the cross, if you will. And it really doesn't bother me who that bothers anymore. I think it's so powerful to understand that the cross is the mediation not just between God and man, but is the massive ability for change in God and in man.
Wow.
And God's, of course, was instantaneous. Could it be that it's only because God totally, totally gets the cross and the work of the cross, and is the rest of our anger and wrath and judgment simply because we don't get it yet? I know that the work of the cross, that being that man's heart being shed of judgment and guilt, which are the sources of anger, wrath, and judgment, even according to psychologists, that is just the major root. And if the gospel roots all of that out, I mean, you know, who knows, folks? I have such a brilliant and almost an inconceivable view of what the potential future of this planet is under the influence of the gospel, that I was telling Glenn today, I'm turning 60 in this summer, and I have never in my life been in a position to where I was more excited about the next decade and the rest of my life. It is just the most wonderful potential, and having the joy of being a part of this magnificent gospel, which brought God to a point of peace with man, and took all his anger, his wrath, and his judgment. Now, I don't think that I am too far off base, if at off base at all. Maybe it's the point of the whole thing, is that the gospel directed this way, and the work of the cross understood by mankind, that it can have even that profound of an effect on the human race also.
This is Glenn Klein Online. That is Michael Williams. This is the Gospel Revolution. The revolution, folks, is a revolution of thought.
Yeah.
It's a different way to think about everything, about yourself, about your spouse, as Michael so profoundly indicates in the series and the teaching that was done in Calgary at the conference up there with Victor Brennan and the folks a couple of weeks ago, about your children, about the raising of your children, about your neighbors, about everybody, including God, It's a revolution of thought. And as Michael indicated during the early part of the show here, there's a different way. There's a more optimistic way of looking at the future, of looking at life, and it's based on a saving understanding of the fulfillment of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, at the cross. Now, our special guest tonight is coming to us from beautiful Urbandale, Iowa, and I have known him for the better part of a quarter century, and he is a evangelical minister. He is an author. He is the author of the recently released book entitled Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. And even before both he and I, and before you, had an understanding of the enormity and the fulfillment of the cross, there was optimism there. And it rubbed against the grain. It was against the grain of the religious circles and the churches that we traveled in, because there's so much negativity. But he's been optimistic for as long as I've known him, and I am privileged to please welcome online from Iowa, please welcome the author of Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace, Mr. Ivan A. Rogers. Ivan!
Good evening, Glenn and Michael. Good evening, Ivan. It's so glad to have you join us tonight. We're privileged.
Thank you very much. The pleasure's all mine.
We've had Ivan on before. Ivan wrote a book about that maybe Judas Iscariot wasn't as bad off eternally as we were taught in church. And Ivan, maybe nobody's as bad off as they thought they were before the understanding of the gospel came in.
Well, I agree with that. The problem is most people don't know it. They're better off and don't know it. Better off because of Christ, better off because of the cross, the atonement, that I believe, I have come to believe, embraces all humanity, not just the favored few.
Why have you come to that conclusion?
Well, it's been a slow development over the years.
Ivan, how young are you?
I am 82.
You're 82 years old. And how long were
you? I'm 82 years young.
Yeah, 82 years young. Thank you very much for correcting me. How long have you been a credentialed minister?
I've been a credentialed minister about 58 years.
Okay. Michael, you were 2 years old. When,
one year old.
You were 1 year old when Ivan was credentialed. All right, so, and everybody can relate to what was happening when you were credentialed in the early 1950s. Was it the 50s?
Yeah. 53.
Yeah, all right, so, all right, give us a little synopsis of what happened from then to you becoming eventually a very high administrator in a denomination, and to where you are being able to release in 2012 a book entitled Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace.
Well, as you indicated earlier, I come from the evangelical persuasion, and I accepted Christ as Savior back in about 1949, after I had been in the army. And I married the piano player of the church, a young lady. I had planned to go to business college here in Des Moines area, but this young lady told me that she was going to a Bible school. And I didn't even know what a Bible school was. She explained it's a place where you learn about the Word of God, and some people end up being pastors and missionaries.
Yeah, but that's not what you heard. All you heard from Elsie was that she was going there. That's what you heard.
She was going there. And I had already enrolled in the American Institute of Business, but the Lord spoke to my heart. I had just accepted Him as my Lord. And she was determined to go, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to go with her because you need to learn about me and about the Word. Long story short, I did, and graduated, never thinking once while I was in college that I would end up a minister. I was only interested in learning more about God, the Scriptures, maybe being a Sunday school teacher. But God called me just before I graduated. He definitely spoke to me, and that launched, as I said, about a 58-year ministry. My wife and I pastored several churches early on in our ministry, and then I was called to the national office, and and I was an officer of our denomination at many levels down through the years, and finally retired in 1994. Now, I have retired three times, and every time I retire, they come and get me. And so I the latest retirement, I was chaplain at a large nursing and retirement home here in Des Moines area for 5 years. Finally decided it's time to retire, and but long story short, a little country church needed a pastor, and they were quite concerned. They probably wouldn't be able to find one. And so I stepped forth and volunteered, myself and my wife, who plays the piano and the organ, to stand in the pulpit until they found a pastor. Well, guess what? After we were there 2 weeks, they quit looking. And we've been there now for about a year and a half. And we just love it. I only have to preach on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And I have the rest of the week off with good behavior.
Well, there's no doubt that there's the good behavior part. But for many years, and by the way, folks, and you guys that are familiar with the show and have heard of Ivan before, you know that Ivan has had a dramatic impact in my life as a mentor. And I met Ivan in the Northwoods of Wisconsin at a church that we helped establish in Eagle River, and which joined the denomination that Ivan was heading at that time in that region. And we hit it off right away, didn't we?
We sure did.
And so we've been in touch all these years, and you kind of, after you understood the full effect of the cross, you were kind of undercover for a while. Why did you do it that way?
Well, number one, I came to a slow realization of the universal redemption of all humanity. And it was not only slow, but it was painful because it went against everything I had ever been taught.
Yeah.
And it went against everything that the denomination that I served believed. And but slowly but surely, I came to the conclusion that Christ died for all humanity, and that ultimately all humanity would be accepted, whether in this life or in the world to come, all humanity would learn of him and respond to his love. And so, and also at the same time, of course, when you believe that, then you have a real problem with the doctrine of hell.
Yeah, you do.
And so there again, slowly but surely, I studied and prayed and agonized for a number of years. Finally, I accepted the evident truth that there is no literal hell of torture, and that Christ died, and therefore all would be saved.
No doubt. And as you said, you came to this as, I mean, so many people around the world. We're being webcast now into over 180 countries of the world. There's people that speak every language that can understand exactly what you mean. But ultimately, you came to that conclusion, and you came out of the closet, so to speak. And you went back, when you got this gig at the country church, you went back to your denomination to get your credentials from them, but you told them what you believed. And what was their response?
Well, what do you think it was? they were stunned, to say the least, that I had accepted this this way. They were very kind. They had some meetings at the highest level, and finally concluded that they would no longer renew my credentials. Our credentials had to be renewed periodically, and but because of their statement of faith, which explicitly says that hell is a real and literal place of torture, doesn't use those exact words, but it is there. And of course, the denomination does not believe that all humanity will ultimately be saved. And because I had departed from, shall we say, the party line,
right,
they concluded that they could not renew my credentials. And I am not angry with them. And I don't make an issue. I just accepted it. It did hurt because I hadn't known any other denomination. This is the only one I knew anything about. It was one of their churches that I accepted Christ in, and went to their college. In time became the president of that same college, one of the offices that I served. And I have many, many friends in the denomination, which shall remain unnamed. And they took no pleasure. I can tell you this. They took no pleasure in denying my credentials. And in fact, some of them actually wept. And but they felt they had to do it,
right?
And so, it is done.
It is done, Michael. Although it hasn't been that long, it will be if you are alive as long as Ivan is.
I'm trying.
I know you're trying. You're doing a good job, by the way, about to approach 60. But you can relate to a lot of what he is saying. How thrilled are you to hear this story?
Well, I mean, goodness, Ivan, for me, and just hearing your story and the tortured soul story of taking this route, I certainly identify with. And to hear your story, for me, it's like I don't even know how to put it. It's like bathing in sunshine for me. Of course, you understand as well as anyone to take such a course in life, especially within the confines of evangelical Christianity, and realizing in your heart that you are slowly divorcing yourself from the entire network of evangelical Christianity. And then having to come to that point where that what's in your heart does come out of your mouth, and it then brings that that division. I think it speaks very well for you as a human being. I have to tell you that many of the churches and organizations that I was invited to leave, they did it with great glee. So I don't know that.
Right. That's where the.
I don't know.
That's where we part company at that point. But
I don't know that I had the type of character that you've had over the years to cause them to be crying at my departure. I don't think any of them cried, actually. And
they might be crying now, however.
But
it's just an
incredible delight, and I am grateful for your journey, oh my gosh, and those dark moments and such brilliant moments in the middle of darkness that you are. But you can't really tell you're walking into the light unless you've been to where it's very dark. And
this is true, Michael. Well, I'm pleased to report that when my credentials were denied, I was contacted right away by some other denominations, and I now have an ordination credential, and so I won't get arrested for preaching.
That's a good thing. We're happy to report tonight that Ivan A. Rogers probably will not get arrested for preaching in the Des Moines, Iowa area.
Right.
Ivan is the author of the just recently released book, Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. We are happy to embrace this book. Michael's about to release a book. Steve and Aaron Essery just released a book called The Hour We Least Expected. You guys know, I mean, all that this effort is about is promoting the gospel.
Yeah.
And Ivan, do you remember the days, and maybe there are people that are still listening, do this, where you wanted to hear from God, and you opened the Bible. You just opened your Bible, and you would look down at the verse that your eye first caught, and that was the Lord speaking to you for that day, right? You remember those days, Ivan?
I do indeed.
Okay, so I have a copy that, by the way, I'm proud to announce has been personally signed by our guest, Ivan A. Rogers. I've got a copy of Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace in front of me, and now I'm going to do the old routine of just opening up the page to hear God speak to us. Here I am on page 54. It is further suggested that like a pharmacist's chemicals compound, a little pinch of God's grace mixed with a liberal portion of our religion and our works will make just the right dose of spiritual medicine to cure what ails us. Unfortunately, this homogenization of grace plus works is constantly being promulgated by Christian literature, by religious radio and TV media, and from too many church pulpits. Consequently, it's not uncommon for many Christians to become very uncomfortable with any conversation that would seem to place too much emphasis on God's grace to the exclusion of their own good works. Being thus conditioned, they will often interject, saying, "But what about our part?" Or perhaps you've heard this one, "God is against all this easy believism stuff." Then, too, there are those who accuse us of preaching a cheap grace, an interference that God's grace and forgiveness will ultimately cost us the price of some of our good works, or that there still remains a price we must personally pay for our salvation, despite the fact that Jesus paid it all at the cross. By the way, the term cheap grace is an obvious oxymoron. Now, gentlemen, I have done this with Ivan's book probably a half a dozen times. I swear to you guys, I have done this a half a dozen times at least, including live, unrehearsed on this radio show. And Ivan, every time I have done that, this kind of truth of the gospel comes into my soul. There's no better gospel than what I just, in a happenstance way, just read.
Absolutely.
Well, from your mouth to my ears.
You go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com, or it's available on Kindle. Get this book, Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. Ivan, I don't even know what to say. I am so saved in my soul right now through just reading that. And there's a little blurb for me. I read the whole book, and it's what do they call that when you send it to the publisher before they get a hold of it? I forget the term in the industry.
I don't know.
What is it, Michael?
An excerpt?
Not an excerpt. Ivan sent me the whole thing. I read the book. I wrote an excerpt. I can't remember the term before the publisher gets a hold of it. Anyway,
the manuscript.
The manuscript. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
My octogenarian friend who comes up with a word that I can't think of. And so there's a blurb for me in there, and you got to get the book. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And so many people, Ivan, are producing gospel-oriented, focused books and blogs and posts. I mean, there is something happening in the earth right now.
There is indeed. And since you mentioned the book, I'd like to just, if I can lay my hands on it here, I would like to give you just a few of the chapter titles.
Yes, please. That'd be awesome.
I won't. There are 12 chapters, and I won't name them all, but let me give you some of them. Chapter 1 is entitled God's Covenant of Adoption. Chapter 3, Creation's Extreme Makeover. Chapter 6, Considering All Things, all is in quotes. Chapter 8, Fooey on Free Will.
Fooey on Free Will?
Yeah.
Come on.
Chapter 11, The Good News About Hell.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to name. Thank you, Ivan. Thank you.
That's good enough. I mean, that's more than good enough. We're going to keep you as a regular contributing member to the Gospel Revolution, Ivan, if that is okay.
That's fine with me. I will be honored.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you for writing this book.
Thank you, Ivan.
And we encourage everybody to get a copy of Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace by Ivan A. Rogers, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com, Kindle. You can get it as an electric, what do they call that, those things?
An e-book.
An e-book. Thank you, Michael.
E-book.
An e-book, yeah. And get one for your sweetheart. Hey, Ivan, get one for Elsie for her Valentine's Day. I'm sure she will really appreciate that.
You're trying to get me in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I've done it before.
Ivan, we appreciate you more than you'll know. Thank you for your work, Michael.
We love you.
God bless you.
Thank you, and give our love to Elsie, okay?
Will do.
All right, there goes Ivan Rogers. Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. Here's a man that is clearly, Michael, at 82 years young, has embraced grace.
Yeah, goodness gracious. I don't even know how to put it. I'm just bathing in sunshine here. It's there is a gospel revolution in this planet. And, you know, I could live the rest of my life off of the titles of his chapters.
Right. As God is my witness, I have done this. I swear I have opened the book and just looked down on the page in every single chapter, every single paragraph.
Oh, let's try to get it on the table of every home we can get it in.
No doubt.
Goodness, how wonderful.
And, all right, well, we've got plenty of time left in this here webcast in the second week of February 2012, folks. We want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260 in U.S. and Canada, 813-425-5773 around the world. If you're living and listening live, and it's about 25 minutes till 10 o'clock on the East Coast of the USA, that means you're listening live, and we want your participation. So give us a call. Sean is waiting.
Don't you know I'm just Folks, the world was not, quote, going to hell because of what the world did. The world was going to hell because of what somebody else did. The preaching of the gospel makes no one righteous. It reveals the righteousness that you already have. The reason the blood of Christ only covers transgressions under the First Testament is because that's the only place where transgression existed. Everyone has been made righteous. But you've got righteousness you didn't ask for, righteousness you didn't even believe for. You might say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, welcome. You're an atheist that's on your way to heaven. This is clear, sound doctrine in every Bible school that is on the face of this planet that teaches any form of Christianity.
The statements you just heard are from the Northern Midwest Conference in the teaching series, Spiritual Understanding, The Knowledge of God. James Pep Washburn writes, tonight was probably the most powerful presentation of the real gospel that I have ever heard. This is no exaggeration. The guy was absolutely firing on all cylinders tonight. He was in afterburner mode. No loose ends. Amazing. This 3-CD series is available for $24 plus shipping and handling, or in a downloadable audiobook for $12. Order your copy of the CDs or download at gospelrevolution.com today.
Save Your Soul, recommended by the Stratocaster of the Gospel Revolution, Carla Klein, listening live in beautiful Riverview, Florida. How cool is it to have the music as part of this deal?
Yeah, it's wonderful. It sounds real.
It is real, and Israel is real, by the way.
Israel.
Yeah. And one of the points that you've made so profoundly over time is the level of gospel influence on music and art in our modern popular culture. And there's something about being untethered from religion that allows people creativity. There's no doubt that the creativity that is coming from the entertainment industry and the art community is way more, I mean, by far, than anything coming from the religious community.
It no doubt is, and with what I what I understand, at least in to what limited degree that I understand it about gifts and the arts and talents, is that it virtually is almost a bypass of the brain, and is something that artists always speak of, something just pouring from their heart. I've had that experience before,
right?
Standing up and speaking, and knowing my topic, but at times there seemed to be that I had sat down and there was something else that was in charge at that moment. And I think a lot of artists, they don't even understand what is coming out of through their music.
And right, but when they say it's coming from their heart, though,
yes.
we understand what they mean.
Oh, absolutely. That is the area that all of this has been deposited in and made a reality. The absolute complete work of the cross is a part of the human heart. And to the degree that Paul said that we have been that Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, And to the point that I'd like to make a reference to the teaching, that was one of the points of the pivotal moments in the teaching in Calgary about children. And, you know, and it's almost looking back on that series now that I did it, I see it more clearly in focus, that really what we were doing is teaching, number one, defusing Proverbs from being used to abuse children. But actually what we were appealing to is parents being able to raise their children without wrath, anger, judgment, and jealousy. And that's clear to me now. I didn't see that when I was teaching this. But we actually are in the process of making the gospel relevant to the degree to people that it has become to God himself.
Exactly. And this is why the series, folks, is subtitled, This One's for Laurel. Because as far as we know, a Laurel Lau that was born to her parents 2 weeks ago, maybe, I believe just in the beginning of the Calgary meeting, just right before, just prior.
Just a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Maybe the week of. Here, as far as we know, and obviously we don't know because, as I said earlier, we've got people listening in 180 countries plus of the planet. But we know this couple in Hong Kong is listening. And is in touch and is very supportive would be an understatement of the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries. As far as we know, this is the youngest member, if you will, of the Gospel Revolution. And she has a chance now, Michael, not only to be raised by parents who understand that there is no more judgment or guilt or condemnation, but she's going to understand from day one that she's never under judgment, guilt, or condemnation from God.
And James Gustafson, who was attending there also, has a 1-year-old granddaughter now. And now you talk about Gaga. That's Gaga.
we'll hear from Gaga later at the end of the webcast.
That is a man who is Gaga over his grandchild. And as we were talking about this, James, and we also dedicated it to his granddaughter also, when we realized that she was 1 year old in the Gospel Revolution. He and I carried out a brief conversation during the middle of the teaching, and he told me, he said, not only does she know it, she hears it every time I hold her. Mm. And I just could so picture James holding that precious little girl and just repeating to her that you are righteous and holy and perfect. And God has never been angry with you and never will be angry. And for him to have come out of the very same religious background that I did as far as our conversion into it in our adult life, as he and I both went into the Word of Faith movement, and to be able to sit there and know that he can do this for his granddaughter, it was just very powerful. You see, Proverbs indicates that there's foolishness bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Well, there's a small problem with that, and that was written to people who were born in sin. And according to Paul, it is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption that's bound up in the heart of a child now. And we're not trying to drive something evil from a child. We are trying to promote bringing out that which is truth from that child's heart. As far as application of the gospel, I don't know that I will ever speak any words on this planet more important than the ones that I did at this particular conference.
And we're happy to report that as Spiritual Understanding was just promoted by Robert Moore, the series that Michael did in Central Wisconsin up there with Pep Washburn and the gang, now this latest series, Proverbs, what's Proverbs got to do with it, is also available just for your download. It'll be available by CD as well, as that process ensues, with our duplication situation and the company that we, send that to. It goes through an editing process, but you guys can download it right now. And by the way, many people have already today, since Jeff got it back from the U.S. Postal Service that was dropped off by, United Parcel. And, we're not too happy with UPS right now. But nonetheless, we're happy to report to you that is available to you at gospelrevolution.com, and cannot recommend it enough. And, oh, my goodness, the sharing and the you'll hear Richard Mull on there. You'll hear all the beautiful humans in Canada. You'll hear Michael's teaching. So it's five downloads now. I'm not exactly sure what the cost of it is. Jeff is going to respond, I'm sure, as he always is, Johnny on the spot with his response. I'll let you know about that during the course of the webcast. We've got about 15 minutes left. We want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. The lines are wide open to take your calls. We've got so many emails. You guys, there was a time where we begged for emails. Where frankly, on this radio show, we could not take phone calls. We only had one phone line, and that was for Michael. Now we've got two more phone lines, and we can take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. We're requesting that if you're listening live, that you do call that number. And if you're listening outside of U.S. or Canada, your number is 813-425-5773. And now we want to thank the next gentleman who's been waiting online for a few minutes now from beautiful Palm Springs, California. Let's please welcome online Mr. Ron Fox. Ron!
Hey, Glenn.
Ron, is this the Ron?
Is it who?
The Ron.
The Ron?
Yeah, have you called this before?
Yeah, I have.
And like, it's been many, many years, hasn't it?
Hey, Ron.
Last time I called you, I was living in Portland. It was about a couple years ago. I am the one that you reference about every 3 months.
Yeah, we do.
On the suicide call.
Yeah, we do. And I've often wondered, as I've referenced you, if you're still alive. And I'm glad to know that you are.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you're accurate every time that you...
it's so good to hear from you.
When you
bro, am I accurate in my description of that evening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything... I think one time you thought my name was Bob, but that's about as...
Well, I knew it was a three-letter name, but I'm really glad that you're calling. Oh my God, am I glad!
I am thrilled. Oh my gosh, it's time to bring out the party hats. Oh my gosh,
we need to have a glitter bomb right now here in the studios.
You guys, come on now.
How are you? You're in Palm Springs now.
Yeah. First things first. I haven't listened to the last Wednesdays yet on the archive. But the week before, there was some really nice Bob Marley at the end. And I just want to thank somebody for the music. I don't know if it's Sean or what, but it was...
You have to thank Sean, and that is exactly who you need to thank.
All right.
Sean listen to what I hear, Ron.
Oh, what's that?
What is that?
Jammin' was the song he did before.
Oh, I think it might be the same song that we're hearing right now.
Yeah. All right.
Come on
good.
Now, everybody. Hold on.
Okay.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Enough of this seriousness now. I wanted to make a few comments about this kind of new change that we're going through with having God and Jesus reside in us.
Yes.
And it has been difficult for me to wrap that through my head. Not that they're in us, but that prayer isn't there anymore, and that he doesn't affect in our lives. And I think it might be just a thing of definitions, because I mean, prayer is. I mean, it's this constant conversation that we have with the Lord, with Jesus or God,
or with each other about the gospel.
Yeah, as long. Yeah, right. Exactly. If we're talking to someone who's understands what's going on, But, I mean, most of the people that I went to church with and most of my family, you know, they think I'm as lost as I can be. you know, so I don't have any
But we know, bro, that you're as found as you can be.
Yeah, and right. You're here.
And you're here!
Hey, I want to tell you guys, 2 weeks ago when there was a guy that called in, and I really understood what he was saying because he was, it's hard to wrap that, like I'm saying, inside our brain that we don't, you know, we don't pray for things anymore. And I think that it's, again, it's a thing of definition, but at the end of that, I want to pick up his $20. Was that what he stopped doing?
That's exactly right. $20 yeah. a month, thereabouts. I mean,
I'll pick that up. I need to have you send me the CDs of this Proverbs thing.
Oh, it's done. It's done. It's done.
Oh, thank you so much. How sweet. I think that's one of the sweetest things we've had to happen on this program.
You've been involved now, Ron, in two of the most profound moments in the almost 7-year history of the Gospel Revolution webcast.
That is so totally
sweet.
I don't know
if anybody is in my position, but right now, or what happened 2 weeks ago when I listened to that, and I had to listen to him about 5 times before I get, you know, I'm just so slow. But it's like, why would I want to commit suicide to go somewhere where it's better right here now? Because how could heaven be any more better than having God and Jesus in us here on earth? I mean, I don't know if the concept is coming through, but...
No, it's coming through.
Before, I was always, you know, I always knew that it would be glorious, whatever it was.
Right. Now, just to rehearse for the folks that may not have heard the story, maybe you're catching up a little bit, but many years ago, Ron called us and told us that he was considering committing suicide, which, as you guys have followed the webcast, know that Michael and I... and many of the gospel revolutionaries that participated in the show were in constant contemplation of ourselves and or for ourselves. And the reason that Ron was doing it because he was being tormented in his mind. I'm not saying by any outside source. Don't misunderstand me. But he was seriously considering committing suicide because, Ron, you said that other than the thought, this had been a pattern and a historical pattern of your family, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then we talked through it, and we said, as we have said, on as Ron said many times, about every 3 months thereabouts, this story comes up, that we had to honestly tell you to follow your heart, regardless.
Yeah.
And then go ahead.
If you had not done that, you know, you would have lost all credibility with me because that was the right thing to say because it just goes along with, it's like when I was talking to Jam, who's Jam? John Adair?
Right.
And he was telling me that Mike had started back into homosexuality or that lifestyle, and I thought, then it's real. I mean, the gospel is real. We can be who we are.
You
can love it. I mean,
oh, come on, bro. So let me interject this, folks, and you guys have heard this story before, but Ron will appreciate it, and you guys that haven't heard the story will appreciate it, and even if you guys have heard the story, you'll appreciate this. Michael once told me, now you know the president of the founder of the Gospel Revolution is a gay man and was one of the first in the 1970s to come out and say that God, through spiritual activity, through prayer and laying out of hands, etc., fasting, whatever, had been delivered from homosexuality. But he never was. And it was a dramatic, positive impact on my journey and my soul when I found that out that, as Ron said, he was still gay when Michael came here to preach at my church that I was pastoring. And then one time, Michael, just, you know, it might be 10 years ago now, said to me that he actually had a dream, a heterosexual dream. And I was like, dude, you cannot switch sides. You cannot switch teams. because the whole thing is based on the fact that the gospel, this, the purity of the message of God's love and redemption and sanctification and wisdom and righteousness for all humanity is being brought to us initially by somebody that religion condemns as an abomination to God. It's so incredibly important. And so Ron called and told us he was thinking about killing himself, and we said, you know, just follow your heart. And a couple weeks later, Ron, you called back, and you said you obviously, now that we're talking to you a couple weeks later, obviously had not done it, but you decided not to do it, not because that you thought that guy might be mad at you, but you just did it for the benefit of your kids, your kids and your grandkids. You thought that they might like you around a little longer. Right?
It still has been a struggle up to, like I say, maybe 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's like twice a second for every minute, for every hour, for sometimes 2 or 3 days, the thoughts will just come in. Kill yourself. Drive a bullet. You're gonna hang yourself.
Right.
It's just...
Right, every possible scenario. And, Ron, there are literally thousands of people around the world right now that completely relate to what you're saying. Michael, you and I were just talking about this mindset today, weren't we, this afternoon?
Yeah, because, you know, my heart not to run so tremendously because I had been literally had an obsession with suicide. As a child, from as early as I could possibly remember, I went through 3 attempts of suicide. The thoughts never left me, and I was telling Glenn, I know I was past 50 years old. Now I'm 59 now, about 60, and I know that I went through this family tragedy in 2005. That I definitely had, still had those thoughts as a possible solution to the pain that I was experiencing at the time. But I just became aware, Ron, just recently, of a long time, years have now passed, and suicide does not come to my mind anymore during any type of crisis, and I've had several. The removal of that from your thinking is nothing less than the saving of your soul, and you can't do anything to get it out. And I was just talking to my friend Chris, and he was going through a very, very difficult time financially, and devastation, just absolute financial devastation, and then getting to a point where that he can get something done about his finances, and had gathered enough funds together to make a needed move in his finances, and went to his bank account this morning, and it was all gone. All gone. And the IRS had seized his account. And so I was on the phone with him this evening, and he explained to me how that he's learned not to try to fight these emotional feelings, and that he lets them go through him. And he was telling me about the mental and emotional exhaustion, and he said, I just listened to my body, Michael. And he said, I listened, and he said, I could tell I needed to go to bed. And he said, I laid down, and I fell asleep. I had the best sleep I've had in ages. And he said, I woke up, and he said, I'm okay.
You know, Ron, if you've listened, as you have, obviously, to the webcast, you've heard my own struggles with suicide and depression. And Michael's advice to me going through that, which is exactly what Michael is talking about with Chris. Michael he never told me to not kill myself, ever. He just told me to not do anything that I don't want to do. and don't do anything that I can't do. And that no matter where I am at right now, no matter where I am emotionally and circumstantially right now, that my circumstances were going to change. But here's what he said. They might change for the better, and they might change for the worse, but they will change.
Right.
And I embrace that. In the midst, I cannot, well, you know, bro. I mean, again, thousands of people that are listening right now know exactly. If you haven't experienced this, folks, good for you. It's like telling somebody, try to explain how chocolate tastes. You cannot understand how being tormented by thoughts of suicide is until you experience it.
Yeah.
But what we have found is that dealing with truth, whether it is the truth that change is going to come, even if it's good or bad, that embracing truth into the soul, the gospel, the truth, the power of God to the saving of the soul is going to produce forward motion, even if it's just 1 inch at a time. Even as it is, as I was in several years ago now, forward progress for me was just not killing myself. Forward progress for me was just literally being able to get out of bed to go to the restroom. That was progress for me. But it was progress.
No, at the end of the day, I feel it's a successful day if I'm alive. I mean, not right now, but I mean, that's the way it was before. You know how you, I mean, I'm in construction and, you know, I'm 60 now. I'm just a little older than Mike, but you work all day and then you know, you feel good and you might have a beer at the end of the day, but I can have a beer at the end of the day if I'm alive. I mean, I feel like I have accomplished something. So I know exactly what you're saying and I've gone, I mean, just recently, you know, I'll do 3 or 4 days and it's just to the refrigerator to drink something and to the bathroom and I don't push myself more than I can handle. And when I don't get a lot done during the day now, when I'm piddling around, I just say, hey, I'm who I am. It's what's going on. And that's what it is. This is what, this is who I am. So I know exactly what you're saying now. That's a good day. That's like a day to reward yourself with a beer if you haven't killed yourself. And that sounds so insane to some people.
Right.
I mean, when I was in the eighth grade, they were teaching us, haiku. I think it's a Korean, poetry. You ever heard of it?
Right. Yeah, sure. Of course.
It's like five syllables and then seven syllables and then five syllables. Well, I wrote this poem and it said, welcome is the axe when the bitter autumn comes, time of curry tree. Well, the curry tree in Korea, I think meant like loneliness or something. And I had written this and I was thinking about my grandpa. He was a full-blood Cherokee Indian and you know, he killed himself when he felt that his life was over, you know, that it wasn't productive or anything. And years later, I realized that poem is about suicide. That I welcome the axe to the bottom of that tree when the bitter autumn comes, you know, just before winter, when death is and it's in life. And I didn't really pick up on it until I was about 35 and I was driving home from work thinking about what I had to do. I have to call the billing department. I got to order the concrete. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do all this stuff. And then and this voice just comes into my head, just shoot yourself with a 38. And I go, what? That's not going to solve my problems, but it's just amazing how it just comes at you from every angle. But again, 2 weeks ago, when I finally began to understand this new concept, how could we be any better off or any closer or anything in heaven than we are right now? We have total access to the one that loves us and the one that we love. And it's got to start an adventure. So now if the thoughts of suicide come into my mind, I rejoice because it's like I have stepped out of that previous life of you know, where it's this untouchable God, unless he wants to come and visit you, you know, with some visitation, which I still think happens. And that's where this concept of prayer and stuff. When I got saved, it was just like Paul. And then I'll go into it if you want to sometime, but it wasn't, a lot of people get saved different things, but I was just like stopped in my tracks about what I was about to do. And it happened to Paul too, after the cross. So God does do, and even Mike says, you know, I didn't even know that before I said it. Well, this is the stuff that still has to be alive for me to rejoice and stuff. So it's going to be a narrow passageway to get through this thing where I understand it. And I hope that you and Mike slow down maybe a little bit, or just, I mean, follow it, but try to explain people just keep doing what you're doing, and eventually everybody will come around. I think this guy 2 weeks ago that dropped his thing was just, you know, his $20 a month was just in a position where he was he confused, and he doesn't want to stop believing the things that may have happened to him. And it's confusing too, because sometimes even you will allude to, hey, we didn't plan this out. The song that Kate, or whatever the hurricane was called now, but you know, with the girl from Australia.
Yeah, Kate. You know, no, Kate is right. Kate Benham.
Katrina. That's what Katrina Benham. Now, that song went right along with the first caller and the second caller. You know, it was like it was all orchestrated. But you bring up the point that it wasn't, and that's what you allude to, the fact that God is. Maybe you don't, but that's what it sounds like to us from the old Christian thing, is that God has his hand on it, of what, you know, what he wants to say and what he wants to open up people's heart into. So it's
all right, hold on. Yeah, I know, I get that. All right, so okay. you just heard what Ryan had to say, Michael, and I know what your perspective is. So what would you say to that comment? That's a beautiful comment, a beautiful perspective.
Well, first off, let me just say, I think one of the descriptions, Ron, that I've had in my life is hanging on to the calf's tail. And I go way faster than I can run, so I'm just inviting you to grab hold of the calf's tail.
The calf's tail.
And it's a whole doctrine around there, you know. But here's the ironic thing. This really does all tie in, ironically, with exactly what you're talking
coincidentally
about. The process of this. And anytime that we make... See, the understanding that we are in a world of absolute chance is absolutely divine to me.
Right.
And when things do happen in such a coincidental way, knowing that we live in a world of chance, that's exciting and remarkable to me, because it gives me hope that an understanding that by chance anything can happen, and just like it was just strictly by chance that we played Kate's music and this story came along just immediately after it, and the emphasis that I think that we would have been trying to make is that it was not orchestrated by God. That it was the serendipity of it. It was the and to me, that whole amazement at that realm.
Right, because we understand here in the Gospel Revolution, folks, that God is present at all times in all human beings.
Absolutely,
that's what I think is being negated. See, by some of the things that are said. That it's all a chance or something, but what you just said, that's what gives me, you know, life inside and fresh air and everything that I need, and clean water and everything.
So, right, but here's the beautiful understanding about living in a world that's just a pure chance, which I so embrace. and I know Michael so embraces, is that that is the gospel. When we live in a world of chance, that means that everybody has an equal chance. Every this is the thing about the gospel. It equalizes everything, and yet, Michael, God is in the middle of it because of the imputed righteousness, redemption, sanctification, and what am I forgetting?
And redemption.
Because God is in the middle of that, and that has imputed that to every human being, that every human being has the same chance.
Yeah.
chance.
And here's the funny thing, Ron, is that, of course, the question has come over the years. Well, you're just saying that God is not involved in daily life. And my response is, no, I'm saying God is not ever not involved in life.
Yeah, when you said that a couple weeks ago, then it's just like, all right.
See, when they say God is involved in life, they mean sporadically.
Right.
Intermittently.
Well, and, I have to admit to this one thing. Well, I mean, it's just one thing I'm going to admit to, but I am so bad about setting stuff down and not finding it. And you talk about your car keys. But I just do this constantly. It's almost like until I go, okay, God, what do I do now? Until I think about 3 weeks ago, I just go, is this the only conversation that we're ever going to have is where did I put something or where is this God? I mean, this is, and it was like, of course, no, but it's up to you, you know, if you want to talk more. But it's like I got down and I go, I don't want to do that anymore. I mean, these, you know, that's not supposed to be what's going on here is getting their parking place or finding my car keys. But I can't find anything half the time, and that's why I said to him, I got kind of uptight. Is this the only time I'm ever going to talk to you is when I can't find something? And so then, and of course, no, you can talk to me anytime, you know, and so it's
constant. You can't not communicate with God.
Exactly. You cannot not talk to God. It's not possible. People talk about this is what Paul talked about. When he said, pray without ceasing, it's not possible to pray with ceasing. It's not, if you're breathing, if you're dreaming, if you're talking, if you're thinking, it's not possible.
You
to
are
pray
prayer and praise at all moments.
Yes.
You are. Prayer is not something you do now, Ron. It's something you are. Praise isn't something you do. It's something you are. Just like righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything that was a thought is now a person. And in the person of Jesus, everything is fulfilled. And we are no longer a performance of anything, but we are the very existence of those things. You are a constant prayer, Ron. Your life, your breath, your movement, everything about you is prayer. Everything about you is praise to God. You cannot not pray, and you cannot not praise. Jesus made you prayer and praise unto him.
That's neat. And it's just, I mean, I was living in Hawaii 15 years ago maybe, and I went to that lighthouse church for a while, and that's where I got a hold of some of your tapes. But it was only the tapes that they would allow me to listen to, not your new stuff. Your old stuff.
Dude, he got kicked out of that church in Hawaii. They literally, my God.
I did too. I know that he had that conversation with John that he had was
that was brutal.
I mean, that guy's, he's just confused and very,
I was out on the street in on the island of Kauai. I was literally kicked out on the street from the pastor's house at midnight. And on the island of Kauai,
brutal.
Not everything is open.
No,
there's not even any lights on at that north end.
There's not even lights. That's exactly right.
I mean, it's black as black. You can see stars, but you're just walking into black. I mean, you could just walk right off the road. I remember I was on one of the, well, that was a different island. Another story.
Well, if we were really on it on this radio show, we would follow that story after midnight with the Eric Clapton song, Ron, After Midnight, Everything's Gonna Be All Right.
That's not his song. That's J.J. Cale's song.
Oh, dude.
And J.J. Cale lives just a few miles from me over here in Temecula.
He wrote After Midnight,
Hang on Sally. He wrote Cocaine.
Really?
And I think that J.J. Cale and him did an album also. And with B.B. King, I think it was like Riding with the King, but it was over there in Temecula, California.
Well, now we're not only in overtime, ladies and gentlemen. We're in bonus information now from Ron Fox in Palm Springs, California. Do not hesitate to pick up the phone and call this program, please. Like next week, we would love to hear from you.
Okay, I had made that agreement with you once, and I was on my way to Mexico. I pulled off the road to get reception, and I just couldn't get through to you. So that's one of the nights I had said, but. Yeah, I'll let you guys go. I realize it's super late. I just wanted to.
We love you, Ron.
Tell you that this new thing, it's new to me anyway. That we are walking. I mean, with God in all of us, it's just such an amazing concept, and how it has really done away with the idea of going anywhere, which via suicide, that would put me in a better place, because it can't be any better than sitting with the Holy
You're
Spirit
here.
And Jesus. And
You're where you want to go.
And yeah, I mean, this is where I'd be in heaven going, can I go back? You know, can I go back? But it's, that was one of the points. The main thing was the music, though, the Bob Marley.
It was Bob Marley's birthday 2 days ago. And
yeah, you know, he's been dead like 30 something years. It's hard to believe.
No, it's crazy. And we posted something on the Friends wall, the Friends of Mike Williams, the Gospel Revolution on Facebook. That was Bob Marley's last public statement. He was being interviewed. He was dying of cancer. And here it was 30 seconds. You can just go to and here you can Google it, folks, or YouTube it. And here's what Bob Marley's advice was for humanity, Ron. And his advice, by the way, that we gave you low those many years ago. Bob Marley's advice after all of his experience in the world was follow your heart. That's good advice.
That's good stuff, huh?
Yeah, no wonder you're connected with it. I have to tell, and I'm glad you're still on the line, not that I wouldn't say this, but over the years, and it's been years now, plural, that we've been telling your story. It's not just been one time that I've wondered, I wonder if this guy killed himself or not at the end of the day. But I still had the gumption and the desire to share the story, even though it was possible, obviously, as it was possible the night that you were on the show that we said, follow your heart, that you might have ended it all. You have no idea what you did for me tonight. And what you did for Michael.
Oh, thanks.
And oh my God, bro.
I can't.
Everyone in the Gospel Revolution.
I can't tell you guys what you've done. I mean, I was in the church. I mean, how dark is that? And it is stale. And I just.
And that's a nice way of saying it.
And when I began to feel it, and I'm feeling it again constantly. On top of itself, just that life, his life that we have with him. And, again, 2 weeks ago, I mean, maybe 6 or 8 months ago, I was thinking, or maybe a year ago, I was thinking, you know, maybe this is just this guy's thing. Mike's thing. He's got this gospel thing dialed down, and it has opened my life to life. But it's like, I gotta always keep moving. So I don't know what the next thing's going to be, you know. I mean, maybe this is just, the message of you guys, but this new idea, and it's not a new concept. I mean, the whole idea of us being God, you know, I mean, some guys get saved and they get into that, and now I understand why they do, because they feel that oneness.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, they get off track or something, you know, but it's...
You know, you want to hear something wild, Ron, and I want to thank you guys and Sean for the indulgence of us being overtime.
Thanks, Sean.
I was talking to one of the gospel revolutionaries about the gospel and about the cross,
mm-hmm.
and he said,
yeah.
You realize that God, in order to find himself, realized he could not find himself in any other person except himself, and therefore committed suicide at the cross.
Well, when he says he gave up the ghost, I mean, I've never brought that up to anybody, but I'm going, what's that about?
Mm-hmm. Well, think about this. God completely formed himself in the person through a divine incarnation in the person of Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. And his total purpose on the planet was to die.
Yeah,
God set himself to die. And then during the course of this conversation, listen to this, you guys. And you guys who are wrangling with, was God angry? Was God wrathful? Was God guilty of mass genocide and mass murder? Which, of course, he was. You're wrestling with this issue. And out of this conversation that we talked about, that God literally committed suicide for his own benefit and the benefit of his creation and the benefit of humanity.
Yeah.
Listen to this. We talked on last week's webcast. This is how this conversation came about last week. We talked about
I didn't hear last week.
Well, you got to go back and listen to the archive.
Yeah.
And so does everybody else who has not heard it. We talked about the fulfillment of the Lord's Prayer. And within that prayer, Yeshua says, forgive us as we forgive them that trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses. Now, we know that there was a concept in the scriptures and in the Old Covenant of a triune nature of God created man in his own image and there was a plurality in that. Yeshua said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them their trespasses. Yeshua, Jesus was, Michael, he was appealing to humanity to forgive God of his trespasses as he forgave us our trespasses. That's freaking powerful.
That is very insightful. I mean, I always thought he was kind of like telling us how to pray, but he was referring to this deity, him and God. And that's heavy.
No,
and that prayer is all fulfilled. It's all done.
It's finished. But Michael, but the Lord was appealing to humanity, to his creation, to forgive God for their trespasses as he forgave us for our trespasses. And he fulfilled the entire prayer at the cross.
And Jesus did all of the forgiving both way in the body of one man. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Thanks, Ron.
I'm going to have to listen to this one.
Yeah. And by the way, so will we and so do we.
I'll call back. I won't be a bother to you guys.
Call every single week that you want to.
Bother us often.
Call us every week that you want to.
Okay?
We love you.
And, Sean, thanks for hanging out late. I called early, but it just happened that there was a, the other guest was...
Yeah, it was Ivan Rogers, the author of the book, Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace, which seems like 2 weeks ago now. That's how much gospel has been in between the time Ivan has been here and the time you're... Thank you so much, Ron. Oh, my God.
I love you, Glenn.
I love you, man.
Mike.
Love you too, Ron.
Mike, I just can't say enough for how you... Just your teaching is just so good. I just... the way you explain stuff and the way it comes through is... I'll cry if you die, if you leave. I'll cry. What was that conversation earlier? Or yeah, when you left the church, nobody cried. Yeah. I'll cry.
Oh, okay.
In happiness.
You wouldn't be the only one, Ron. Oh my God. Good night.
Night, Ron.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye now.
Love you too.
Oh my God, bro! Come on. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We just heard from the man.
Yes, we did.
When he said that we've referenced him ever since he called many years ago, folks, every 3 months, that's probably about right. Maybe it might be a little, we might have referenced him every 60 days. And how many times have you wondered if that guy was still alive?
Well, how many people have listened to the story that weren't there during that webcast? I mean, goodness, there's probably thousands that just thought maybe this was just a trumped-up story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That is crazy.
I'm done.
What? I know, but listen, we've got so many good emails. You guys, I swear to you, we could go for another 2 hours easily just based on the information that I have on my computer right now. But I have to reference a couple of people, and just one email. I mean, we've got Moses from Kenya, that we got his email that we have not gotten to. We have Paul in England, his email that we will not be able to get to. But I've got to reference Janet Markey's email. All right, bear with me here because I'm going to find it, and then we're going to get out of here. She just emailed, and I don't have time to get into her question or her comments, but I asked her, I just, as I do when people email, if they don't say where they're calling or where they're emailing from, I say, where are you listening from? And Janet is emailing from Rockford, Illinois. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And she, yeah, right, which is not an insignificant little place in the history of the Gospel Revolution. She is Jan Heller's ex-daughter-in-law and Jeff Markley's wife, who, Jeff, is Josh Tenney's, she says, BFF, best friend forever. Of course, Jeff, our Gospel Revolutionary in the Madison, Wisconsin area, that came down for the Gospel Revolution Summit in Tampa, which you can download the entire thing, ladies and gentlemen, at gospelrevolution.com. So, anyway, during the course of the conversation with Ron, I just asked her where she's from, and she tells me. But here's her response, just listening to Ron in our conversation. We don't have time to get into her initial letter, nor to Moses's from Kenya, nor to Paul's from England. But here's what she says, and we'll get out of here with this. Wow! Now, that was just awesome, Mike. You just said what I so needed to hear. I am the prayer. I am the praise. And so on. I get it. The expression of all he is. Beautiful man. I just got the tree of life tattoo on my arm. Underneath the Jesus with Mary at his feet and shalom, peace. Also in Hebrew. Complete and blameless.
Yeah.
You know, we cannot end any webcast or this webcast without saying, ladies and gentlemen, everybody that you know, that you could ever know, that's on planet Earth right now is exactly what Janet just said. Complete and blameless because of the work at Golgotha. There was an altar, Michael. That was the altar of God. There are no more altars of God. There is no more altars of God. That was the altar. And the sacrifice was offered, and it was accepted, and all humanity has been accepted as perfect and righteous and redeemed and sanctified and wise in the sight of God. Oh.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my God. We want to thank everybody for listening and calling, and we want to thank Ivan Rogers for writing the book, Dropping Hell
Ivan,
and Embracing Grace. We want to thank Ron Fox for calling and not killing himself. Michael, thank you for not killing yourself. Sean, thank you for not killing yourself. Jeff Robertson, thank you for not killing yourself. Carla Barton, thank you for not killing yourself. Glenn Klein, thank you for not killing yourself. And you guys who haven't killed yourself yet, thank you for not killing yourself. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online. We'll do it again. This is unbelievable, you guys. Shalom, everybody.
Give yourself prudence and love your friends. Stop a kid who chooses the truth. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Whether you're broke or evergreen, your black, white, beige, chola, descent, your Lebanese, your Orient. Whether like disabilities, if you outcast with leader teeth, rejoice and love yourself today. Cause baby, you were born this way. Come on!